We're starting our lesson for hearing the Holy Ghost. We're on lesson number 4 in our series, and this lesson is called Having a Sensitive Ear. We talked last week about having an open ear, and in lesson 3 we learned that we can possess opportunity. That's what the O stands for. We can have power, that's the P, enlightenment, the E, and newness of life in the N. And that means we can have an open ear. We can really participate in what God wants us to be involved in if we'll just listen to what the Lord has to tell us. Distractions, we learned, and lack of desire can hinder us. But when we gain direction and desire, we can have that with open ears. And not only do we need to open ears, but we need to have sensitive ears. Open ears can hear, but sensitive ears can hear even more. Ears may be open, but how sensitive are they to what the Lord has to say? Our opening verse is Hebrews 5:11-14. Says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For the time yet ought to be, ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is obeyed. But strong meat belongs to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And Hebrews 5 tells us the consequences of not having sensitive ears. He mentions here, first of all, dull of hearing. You hear something, but it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to you. Just being like a new Christian in church, and you can go through a lot of classes and doctrinal issues and other meat of the word, but you may not understand a whole lot of it because you just are dull of hearing. You hear what they're saying, you know it's from the Lord, but it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to you. And it takes time and some growth and maturity. And you could be dull of hearing, but if you've been saved for many, many years and you still have a hard time understanding some things about the Bible, not the real difficult things of where Cain, what happened with Cain and Abel and how many children Eve had and all these other things, but I'm talking about just doctrinal issues. If you still have some problems explaining that to somebody else and knowing where the verses are and such, and you've been saved for many, many years, you've been in church most of your life, maybe you're dull of hearing. Maybe you're just not getting it all. Maybe a reason why you're just picking up some things, but not everything. And then he mentions that another consequence is that you need to be taught again. You know, some lessons are taught over and over and over again. Children are like that. You teach children over and over and over again. Clean your room, clean your room, clean your room. Wash your hands. Use soap when you wash your hands. And you go through all the steps with them, and then you send them over there. They don't clean the room. They don't wash their hands. And, you know, why didn't you have to tell them again over and over and over again? Well, that's because they're a child and they're still learning. But as a Christian, we have to mature from that child stage to an adult stage. And God shouldn't have to keep telling us something over and over and over again to get our attention. Again, we may have open ears. We may be listening to what God wants us to hear. But does he have to tell us over and over and over again? You know, Peter was a great example of that. He had a problem with that. I don't know what it was about him. Everything had to come in threes. But after three times, it made sense. And sometimes we're like that. And we hear what God's saying. We just don't get it. And maybe we need to be taught it again. And he says, you know, sometimes that happens. You get dull of hearing. You should be teaching others, but now you're having to be taught again. He tells us in that same scripture that you can be unskillful, meaning there's not much ability there. And discernment, that last one, talking about discernment, you can't determine the difference between things. And we're going to talk about discernment in a little bit. So babes hear very few sounds, and can be startled by loud bangs. That's what Becky was going through with her. I'm going to use my new grandchild as an example for a lot of things now. I got another one in the family I can use besides Becky. Becky's child. She's going to hate that. But they had the, of course, they in hospital, they go through all these tests and everything. One of them was a hearing test, and they came in and explained to us how they're going to, I don't know, I still don't even understand that. How they can test the hearing on a little child, on a babe that doesn't respond, like, you know, can you hear me? You know, do you hear this? But they explain how they do it, and there's some kind of, electrodes and some other things about how they're supposed to respond and all that. And of course, you know, everything was fine, but Becky's big thing was, you know, yeah, she can hear, but, you know, I wanted to be quiet. You got to talk a little quieter. And every time Ben would do something or grandma would do something, and make a little bang noise, the girl would twitch, you know, and she'd get all excited and say, oh, you know, wake her. Because she doesn't sleep now anyway. It's those little sounds that baby doesn't know what they are, but it did get their attention. They heard the sound. They just don't know what it is. Well, as we grow as Christian walk with God, and the closer we want to walk with God, and we want to hear God, we want to hear Him talking to us. He's speaking to us. We may hear Him, but do we have that ability to understand exactly what He's saying? That sensitivity to not just the sound, but what does that sound mean? And so toddlers have keywords that they'll hear. They can be distracted the whole day, but as soon as you say the word candy, pool, go play outside, take a bath, it's going to get their attention. They're going to hear that. Teenagers, they like the words like, do you want to drive? Oh yeah. They won't hear anything else you have to say. Is that you want to drive? Oh yeah, sure. Yeah, I'll drive. Do you want to go tell a teenage girl, do you want to go shopping? They'll hear that, but they may not hear clean your room. So, and adults, should have, their hearing maturing each and every day. So Christians need to be growing spiritually and should be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Again, we're talking about hearing the Holy Spirit, and we want to hear God, but we have to be sensitive about what we're hearing. Here's some examples. Sensitive ears can hear what others fail to understand. Number one, discerning between sounds. Now, I know there's a lot to this, and Jack had his time talking, so it's now my time to talk. So you can ask him about all the trumpets and all the things later. But here's a few verses. Ezra 3:13 says, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. And then another instance in 1 Corinthians 14 says, verse 7 and 8, and when things without life giving sound, even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is pipe or harp? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare him to the battle? Now the people needed to know whether the sound was to prepare for battle, prepare for assembly, for rejoicing, or whatever. They had a lot of reasons why the trumpets would sound. And some was to alert them because the enemy was near. Some was to gather them to assembly and so forth. And so if they didn't, they may have heard the sound, but if they didn't understand what that particular sound meant, it didn't mean anything that they heard the sound if they didn't know what that sound meant. And so should I prepare for battle or should I go rejoicing into the camp? You know, what am I supposed to do? I don't know what that sound means. I hear it. I just don't know what it means. And so when we listen to God, we need to know what He means. It's not just a matter of hearing Him and He's speaking to you, but we need to understand exactly what He's saying. And that's going to come with understanding, more maturity, and having a desire to, one again, listen to the Lord and what He has to say. So, yes, God's going to speak to us, but it's going to come in different sounds. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. God is not part of confusion. That's not His job. He's not trying to confuse you. He's trying to help you understand. And I said, well, I don't understand what you're saying, Lord. Well, you better keep listening then, because he wants you to understand. He doesn't want you to stay confused. There's something he's trying to get your attention about, something he wants you to do. And we have to be discerning and hearing those sounds. Brother James gave me this information this morning, so I told him I'm going to use it as an example. And I'll just give you the brief synopsis of that. You can ask Brother James for the whole story later. But Brother Floyd had this man that he's been knew he was lost. He's been trying to reach him. He would never come to church. His wife would come to church. He tried to visit him a couple of times. Then he got really sick. Got in the hospital, and every time he went to go see him in the hospital, there was a whole bunch of people there. They wouldn't leave. They thought he was going to die any minute. And he just didn't have a chance to talk to him. Well, during a Sunday, he's in Sunday school, he hears the Holy Spirit talking to him, saying, you need to go visit that guy and witness to him. And so he had to make the choice at that time, do I leave right now after Sunday school and miss church, or do I stay for church and do my normal routine and go later? And that's being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because you hear God speaking. You know he wants you to go do something, but you have to really be sensitive to know when it is he wants you to do this. When do you want me to leave? When do you want me to talk to him? When do you want me to go? I hear you want me to go, but when do you want me to go? What's the perfect timing on this? You have to be discerning what you're talking about and hearing and being sensitive. So Brother Floyd decides now is the time. I need to go now. So he leaves after Sunday school, goes to the guy's hospital room. There's only one person there or something. They leave. He begins to talk to the guy, witness to him. The guy receives Christ as his Savior. And a couple hours later, he dies and goes into eternity. See, that's being sensitive, because like Brother Floyd said, I could have just waited. I could have just went to church, could have just went home, had lunch, whatever, got my wife home, checked on my mom, checked on Dirk, everything, and then go to the hospital after I changed my clothes and everything. By then, he would have been dead or been in so much pain I wouldn't be able to talk to him. But it's that you're not just hearing God, but being sensitive to what he wants you to do, when he wants you to do it. Get more specifics from the Lord. And so discerning between the sounds, knowing what God is saying, but also discerning between the spirits. In 1 Timothy 4, 1, it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. How are you going to not listen to doctrines of devils and seducing spirits and know that it's God speaking to you? You better have some sensitivity in what you're hearing, and you better know it's from God. You see, the Bible tells us that Satan imitates the Lord. He has ministers in this world, even now as we speak, that are used of Satan to manipulate and to confuse Christians so they'll never be successful for God, never do anything for God, and of course keep the lost from ever accepting Christ. And that's why we have so many false religions today, teaching you everything but Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. And how are you going to discern between that as a believer? And I'm not talking about unbelievers. They don't have that ability. I'm talking about believers being able to discern and know whether that's God or that's not God. You got to not have open ears, but you better have some sensitive ears. Discernment is available to every believer. I believe that. Malachi 3:18 says, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. I mean, as a believer, as a mature Christian, you should have some discernment to be able to tell if that person is from God or he's not from God. And you should be able to tell. Yeah, it sounds kind of good. It's like Brother Gerald sent me on the radio. He'll listen to different people on the radio and everything. Sounds good. But the more you listen to them, something sounds funny about it. And you just can't put your finger on it, but something sounds wrong. And then the more you listen to it, the more you can discern, oh, never mind. Click. That's what he is. Because everybody starts off like that. Mormons are believe in the name of the church is Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They believe Jesus Christ. I've talked to several of them about if they believe they're going to heaven. So I think I have. So why? You know, because Jesus. What about Jesus? You know, they know Jesus, but they don't understand that he's God and that he's the only way to heaven. Of course, none of those false religions believe that. And that he's the only one that can save them from their sins. But they have the name. When I was in Catholicism, we picked up the booklets, and every time you read Jesus was, Son of God, he rose, he died, buried, and was rose again 3 days, you repeat that whole thing, and it sounds great. But there's so many people, and so many priests, and so many other people that will not teach you that Jesus is the only way to heaven. That's why you have to be baptized as a child. That's why only Catholics go to heaven. This is what they believe. That's what's in their doctrine. And you got to have your grave blessed when you die. And you got to have people pray for you. You can make sure you don't go to purgatory. There's all these things that they add to it. But they act like they believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. But that's not what they're saying later in their religion. So there's a lot of that going on. A lot of people, of course, there's some false religions that just deny Jesus completely, and that, you know, he wasn't God at all. He's just a good person or whatever. And so you have all these people that, that just sound good. And maybe they started out on to try to do right. But man, the filthy lucre of this world has taken them off track, and they're not preaching that no more. They're preaching prosperity gospel. They're preaching whatever they can. Buy my prayer rags, put it before your table, and you'll be prosperous and blessed. Just give me, you know, yeah, let me sell you my prayer rag, you know, and so you'll be prosperous. You know, there's a lot of that mess going on. And if you don't know how to discern and listen to God and what that person is right, how are you going to distinguish between righteousness and evil? Like Malachi was saying, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. I mean, it sounds good. It seems good. There's examples of that in the Old Testament where they had the wrong worship and they offered strange fire and strange incense before the Lord. Well, you know what? If you're somebody watching that and they thought that they were doing the offering to God for your sins, it would look like they're doing the right thing. And you saw the smoke, you saw the fire, you saw the offering. But then when you more examine it closely, you say, well, that's not the right offering. That's not that offering isn't without spot, without blemish. That's not the right incense to use. That's not the right fire to have here. You're not even a priest. How can you offer this? You wouldn't know that from a distance, but the more you investigate it, the more you find out, hey, wait a minute. This guy is supposed to be making offerings on behalf of my sins, and he's not even eligible. he doesn't even match the criteria. But then we have people today that stand up in a pulpit and say, I'm a preacher, I'm a pastor, but they don't meet the criteria. Yeah. They don't meet the standards. And they're supposed to be preaching you the truth. Well, how are you going to know that if you can't discern between those that are rightly serving God and those that are not serving God? I'm not pointing to you, brother, that way. I was just in that direction. Kyle's behind you. I was pointing to Kyle. You have to be able to discern between that. Well, you know, we talked about this in one of my previous Sunday school lessons on the spiritual gifts. And I mentioned to you then that there are spiritual gifts you have at salvation. It's not something you get later. You have to beg God for, or be good enough for, or reach some level to get. No, you got the spiritual gift that you're supposed to have. The Holy Spirit's going to use that gift within you. If you have the willing heart and you want to serve and you're willing to serve and you're sold out to God and you surrender to God, he's going to use those gifts to bring him glory, not you, him glory. That's what it's all about. But I told you then, there's gifts that are in the scriptures that are also, we see other places that are mentioned as not as gifts. For instance, giving. We're all supposed to give the Lord, but then there's a gift of giving. And then there's also that gift of discernment. You see in 1 Corinthians 12:10, it says to another, the working of miracles, to another prophecies, to another discerning of spirits. Some have that gift of discernment, but that doesn't mean that we can't all be discerning in the spirits. We can, because we're a child of God, we have the Spirit of God within us, we can have a sensitive ear to God and realize and look at something, hear God and say, you know, is this from the Lord? And know the difference. As just a believer in Jesus Christ, we should have that ability and do have the ability to discern between those that are doing righteous and those that aren't. Yes, there's going to be some around and put up such a great show that you're going to think they're a great person of God. They're going to basically fool pretty much everybody. But they have their punishment. They've never been called of God and never been a child of God. But yet, it sounds good. I mean, they're saying all the right things. You might have relatives like that. You know, you're thinking, I know I meet people like that when I go visit them, and all they're telling me, they're saying all the right things, but I don't think that they're saved. I just don't, and I could be wrong, and I'm praying that I'm wrong, and that they are saved, but there's something about that when I'm talking to them. They have all the verbiage. They have all the right things to say. They say and tell me the right things. Even people that come forward want to join church, they tell me all the right things. All I can do is take them at their word. But within, I'm thinking they might not be saved. And I'm going to keep that in the back of my head as I'm talking to them and as they want to be used and whatever, because I want to see more fruits and prove me wrong. You know, so, but that's just discernment and knowing and listening, having that sensitive ear. So sensitivity or sensitive ears are tuned into the smallest sounds. I know now that I'm older, not near as old as Jack, but I'm older. I've lost sometimes the ability to hear things. I used to have really, really keen, good hearing. I won't say it. My wife's looking at me funny. I'm not going to go there. But sometime as I got older, I lost some of my hearing, so I don't hear everything like I should. Selective hearing. But there are some sounds I can't hear, you know. And my girls, when they're younger, they say, you know, did you hear that? And then what? You know, usually you'd be able to hear high-pitched sounds or really low. Now, you know, and as we get older, that range begins to shorten and we don't hear all those really high and low things like young people can hear. But there was a time that we could. Well, you know, when we look back now and back at the time that we used to have really good hearing, you remember those times you could hear just the faintest sound. And I can still do that sometimes. Like last night, we're talking and I had to stop for a minute because I heard something over here. We've been trying to kill this fly that's been in my house forever. It's as big as a bee, but he has a way of hiding, and I don't know where he goes. He'll just fly by, you know, and there he is. He's gone. He got the cloaking device or something, because I don't know where he went. So then I hear him, and he, you know, like those stupid June bugs that fly, hit something, and they fall, and they just spin on the, you know. I don't know why they call them June bugs. They call them dumb bugs because that's what they are. They just fly until they hit something and they hit their back and they can't get up again and they die. Short life. So I hear that from the corner. I can hear it. And so I look around there and my floors are dark so I can't really see. But I just keep listening, tuning in, finding that sound. And boom, there he is. I smash his guts out. Finally killed him. And those of y'all bug lovers, well, he gave his life to Jesus, so he's fine. But you know, I could still hear that. There's an unusual sound that I'm not used to hearing in my house, and it caught my attention. And so I wanted to tune in until I got a little closer, until I could actually find it. And there, sure enough, there it was. But God's that way with us, too. Look at this verse, 1 Kings 19. And verse 11 and 12, he says, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, tore the mountains, and brake in the pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. That was God. You see, God wants to speak to you. He wants you to be have open ears. He wants you to hear Him. But sometimes we have to tune in to the things He's actually saying. What I hear what you're saying, Lord. You want me to go. Who is it you want me to see? Where is it you want me to go? When do you want me to go? He has all the details. He doesn't want to confuse you about it. He wants you to hear those details, but it's going to be in the small voice of the Lord. Don't be looking for some explosion. I seen God and He told me that He's going to kill me if we don't raise $10 million. You know who I'm talking about. That's not God. That was His wife. Standing over with a hammer. If you don't do this. But that's not what God does. He's not in the explosions. He's not in the fantastic. He's not in the miraculous. He's speaking to all of us, but He wants you to hear Him personally, just like if you're right next to Him. You know, if I was talking to somebody without my microphone, and I want to tell Sam something, I would get a little closer and I'd tell him, so make sure he heard me. Y'all might not hear me, but he could hear me if he was listening. And that's how God does. He's speaking to you, so I want you to go. Well, Lord, where do you want me to go? And He said, well, I want you to go over there. I want you to talk to that person right there. And it's a small little thing, and then you start questioning yourself at the beginning. Is that God? Does He really want me? I know Deanna's told me that before. Jenny's told me that. They had that lady that used to come to church until Christmas. I don't know what happened to them. They were visiting here for a while. Well, the first time we met her, she was sitting here on the steps. And she was just sitting in front of church crying. And Jenny was passing by. And she saw her. But you know, your first instinct is, well, I don't know what she's crying about. I don't really, you know, you're thinking, well, I don't want to get in their business. You know, but she started driving down the road and then she decided, you know what, I think I need to go back and talk to her. So she turned around, came back, talked to her, prayed with her, found out, you know, she didn't go through all the details, but just that something was bothering her and such. You know, she just needed somebody to pray with her. So she came to the church and that's exactly what happened. Well, you know, the general hearing God is that you're passing by somebody and God says, you know what, you should talk to that person. And then you start questioning yourself if it's really God. Does he really want me to do that? Does He want me to do it right now? Should I turn around right now? Or should I just finish this and come back? Or should I wait and see what's going to... You start having questions. And that's when it gets more sensitive to what God wants to tell you. And say, you know, I want to hear this a little bit closer here. What is it that you want me to do? Should I turn around? I'll turn around. Do you want me to turn around? And God will tell you, just turn around. Yeah. But you got to be listening. You got to have that sensitivity to know that it's God. So sensitive ears can tune into the smallest sounds. And having sensitive ears enable us not only to hear the Holy Spirit, but it allows us to discern the voice of God so that there's no doubt in our hearts who it is that's speaking to us and what's He saying. Again, God is not the author of confusion. He's going to speak to you. He's going to make it very plain and clear what He's telling you, what He wants you to do, whatever it is. It's going to be clear, and then it's going to be up to you to hear Him and obey Him. That's what it runs down to. So, yes, we can hear God. God's speaking to us. We can have an open ear, but we have to be sensitive to that small voice of God and listen. And next lesson or so, we're going to talk about those things that may keep us from hearing that small voice. But we need to have sensitive ears. Ask the Lord to help you hear and be sensitive to His voice. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the time we have here today. I ask that You'll bless our services and all that we do for Your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.